today from the book of Exodus. Here we have the Israelites, the people of God, the chosen people of God, delivered out of captivity in Egypt. They've been delivered out. They've seen God's handiwork in the plagues. And they've seen God's handiwork in leading them out of captivity. They saw God part the sea. They went across on dry land. They saw the Egyptian soldiers come after them, and God drowned them in the sea. They were led by God in the wilderness by a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. They knew God's presence. They had experienced God's mighty working and God's mighty power. And just make them wait for a little while, and they get impatient. Where's Moses? He's up on that hill. He's left up there. He's probably died up there. We want someone to lead us. Specifically, as it is recounted in Exodus, the people gathered around Aaron and said to him, "Come, make gods for us. You were an idol maker back in Egypt. That was your job. That was your trade. You know how to make them. Make us idols. Make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. He may be dead. We need someone, something, to lead us." Aaron said to them, "Take off the gold rings that are on the ears of your wives and your sons and your daughters." See, young men wearing earrings is nothing new. "And bring them to me." So all the people took off the gold rings from their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he took the gold from them and formed it in a mold and cast an image of a calf. And they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." I love the story as it continues when Moses confronts Aaron about it. And Aaron says, "Well, we just threw the gold in the pot and look, shazam, look what jumped out." "Yeah, you made it, Aaron. You hammered it, you formed it in a mold, you made it. Some kind of an Egyptian calf or god or idol." He knew something was wrong. He heard that proclamation, and he thought to himself, "Maybe I can save this." So he says, "Tomorrow shall be a festival to the Lord." And you notice it's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. When your translation renders Lord that way, it's translating God's personal name, Yahweh. So let's read it that way. "When Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, 'Tomorrow shall be a festival to Yahweh.'" In other words, he viewed fashioning the calf as making a representation, a symbol of Yahweh, not some other god, not God Bessie. No. Yahweh, the God who led them out of Egypt. Some physical, visible, identifiable representation of Yahweh. He doesn't have the Ten Commandments yet. He doesn't know about that law that says you'll have no other gods before me. He hasn't read that yet. He hasn't been told that yet. He knows there's something wrong with making an idol. After all, they've got a God who led them through the Red Sea and through the wilderness, and wow. Well, maybe this golden calf can be said to represent Yahweh. Yeah, that'll work. That'll work. Nuh-uh. God looks down and sees this and I'm sorry, God gets pissed. He gets really angry here. And notice the use of pronouns. The Lord said to Moses, "Go down at once. Your people, whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt, have acted perversely." Moses wasn't going to let God get away with this, though. His response, "Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt?" They played hot potato back and forth. They're not my people, they're your people. No, they're not my people, they're your people. Here you go, have them. I don't want them. I don't blame Moses. I mean, here he was, he's out in the wilderness, tending the sheep of his father-in-law. And God calls him to come and deliver these wacko people. I don't want them. They're your people, God. You take them. You take responsibility for them. You're the one who led them out of Egypt. Do you want those Egyptians to say that you led them out of captivity to kill them in the wilderness? Come on, God. You made a promise to their ancestors. You made a promise to Abraham and Isaac and Israel, Jacob. You made a promise to them. And I just love how it reads. "And the Lord changed his mind about the disaster he had planned to bring upon the people." We were going to have some barbecue, and now I'm going to have to wait. You know, he comes down and he does kill quite a few, but he doesn't wipe them all out. He was going to wipe them out and start over with Moses. But God relents and doesn't do it. Now, the moral of that story is don't practice idol worship. Or Moses and God will be playing hot potato with you. No, they're not my people. They're not my people. They're your people. And before you think, this is awfully far from us. This is awfully removed from our experience. Think again. I mean, we don't worship sphinxes. We, as a people here locally, don't worship the god Nu or other idols or deities. But we have other gods. We have, as I said in the children's sermon, God Dollar. Or God $20 or $100 or whatever. We have other gods. Let's see. We have God Ten Commandments. Well, Ten Commandments are good. What are you talking about? Yes. But when you elevate the law above God and what God calls you to do, it becomes your idol. We've got God Bible. We've got God Bible. The Holy Word of God, right? But is it God? No. Oh, it's a living Bible here. Get rid of it. We Methodists, we worship John Wesley. I mean, you want to stop an argument amongst a bunch of Methodists. Just say, "Wesley said," and everybody goes, "Jesus said, oh, who cares about him? But Wesley?" The holy discipline of the church. One day at several general conferences ago, somebody got up and in a sarcastic moment after somebody had said that it was in the discipline and therefore we had to obey it. Of course, this is a general conference where they're changing the discipline. Somebody got up and said, "I propose make a motion to amend the holy discipline of the church," and everybody kind of roared laughing. The discipline. We treat the rules and regulations of the denomination like God sometimes in a way that causes us to not follow the call of the gospel. It's an old discipline, Cynthia. I've been wanting to do this for a long time. Oh, I'd love to do that. Ooh. Oh, here we go. Personal attainment like doctor's degrees. We make them our gods. attaining them, earning them, displaying them in fancy frames. Y'all were wondering what I was going to use this junk for, right? The Church of the Holy Touchdown. Football. Oh. The Church of the 18 Holes. Woo. The Church of I Would Rather Sleep In Because It's Raining. We make lots of things our God. We have symbols in the church. The church itself. Organs and pianos. The cross. We make the cross into an idol when we worship the symbol and not the one who died on it for us. When we worship the symbol in the church, in its furniture, in its structure, in its order and committees, and not Christ Jesus Himself, not God the Creator of the universe. When we worship anything other than God, from God dollar to sex, drugs, and rock and roll, to good things like study, even family, political party, when we make anything other than God first in our lives, we're practicing idolatry. How do you know if you're practicing idolatry? Ask yourself these questions. What do you think about most of the time? Where do you spend your time most of the time? How do you spend your money, most of your money? Those three questions can really get right down into the core of your existence. Take those three questions and ask a final question. Are those three things what God wants me to be doing? Do I find those three things pulling me away from God's will for me? So, what do you spend your time thinking about? What are you doing? And how do you spend your money? And do those three things pull you away from what God is calling you to do? You can be focusing on lots of good things, making idols out of good things, country, family, church, study, good things. You can be lifting Scripture into a position of being God. You can be worshiping good things, but if they're not God, they're idols. And God will play hot potato with you if you're doing that. So, my friends, ask yourself the questions. Consider those questions. And ask yourself, do they, have they, will they draw me away from what God wants me to do? If they're pulling you away from God's will for you, and only you know what that is, I can't tell you. But if they are, then they may be taking the place of God in your life. And if they are, now's a good time to set the idol aside. I was talking to someone via the internet this week who told me in an email that he lost nearly $750,000 in the stock market in one day. And he looked out the window of his office, and there were people out front of the New York Stock Exchange with protest signs that said, "Don't bail out, jump out." And it actually went through his mind, with all the money he had personally lost in the market, Maybe it would be easier just to jump out. And had those windows been openable, he might have. And I shot him back a question. Who's your God? And his reply was immediate. It's been God, Dollar. And I said, where's your family? Where's your church? Where's your faith? Where is God in your panoply of priorities? And he said, way down at the bottom. And I said, then maybe you need to think about those priorities. Maybe you need to reposition family, friends, church, God ahead of dollar. And his answer was that he would. When faced with a calamity like what's happening in our economy, it's understandable people would take a moment to re-examine their priorities. May we also re-examine ours. Identify where we're being led astray by whatever, and then reorient them towards God, our faith, our families, and the calling that God has for us as the people of God to share the unrestricted, unlimited love of God with all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2008 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information, or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.